Well, good morning. Last weekend before school starts, right? No, pray for the routine in our families, the schools and kids and everything for safety. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for each one here. And I pray, Father, please, that you'll carry this message. I trust you, Father, to carry it effectively to each and every heart. Father, I know that is also contingent upon people's hearts being open to what you have to say to them. So touch ears, touch hearts, and help us to receive what you have for us today. And I pray, Father, that you will glorify your Son through this message, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. I was thinking about the message, and I always get the message together and try to figure out an introduction. And I thought, my wife was telling me about something that had happened to her. And so I said to her, I said, would you mind giving a testimony? Well, Kathy doesn't particularly care for, like a lot of people, standing in front of people giving a testimony. I said, okay, well, would you mind just writing it out and or read it? And so she wrote it out. So I'm going to share this testimony with you of what God had shared or taught or revealed, however you want to interpret it, in my wife's life. She writes, one night before bed, I was inspired to open a little wooden box that I had since childhood. It contains little rolled-up scrolls with inspirational scriptures on them. As a child, I always felt like God was speaking to me each day when I pulled out a verse to read. It had been several years since I had even opened the box. That night, I pulled out James 5:15. The prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will restore him to health. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. The Holy Spirit used that scripture to speak to me. He said to me, you need to really believe. You need to have faith and pray for your healing. It's not that I hadn't prayed for healing before. I had been praying for healing for 11 years. I had wanted the intense pain, fatigue, heart issues, and other symptoms to be gone for 11 years. I had wanted to be free of medications that kept me up, walking and working. I had wanted to feel better so I could be more effective for God. And it's not that I hadn't read the scripture before. I had read it many times before. There was something different that night. The Holy Spirit was telling me it was up to me. I needed to pray and believe. Now was the time that God would answer, if only I would truly believe and pray. I had a strange strengthening that could have only come from God that night. My faith seemed to be greatly increased. I could have just said my good night prayers with my husband and gone to sleep, but I knew I had to do more. Much of that night, I prayed fervently, absolutely believing God was going to heal me. It was a special night for me, a closeness to God, and a real sense of increase of faith. Some time passed, and I continued to pray for healing. Then a strange set of circumstances occurred that finally led to a gas leak being proved out to be true at our house. It had been there since before we moved in. We had been experiencing gas poisoning. Gas poisoning brings all the health issues that I had lived with. After the leak was found and sealed, the gas dissipated. As each day passed, my symptoms lessened and I began weaning off my medications. The intensity of pain, high blood pressure, fast heart rate, fatigue, etc. were all so much less. I felt amazingly better. I still have some pain and residual effects from 11 years of damage being done by the gas, but I am so grateful to God to be at this level and off the medicines. My faith has increased greatly since that night and that time of healing. Just recently, God has spoken to me again about certain subjects that I have been praying for many years. He reminded me to truly believe and pray. And once again, he is moving those mountains in my life and increasing my faith even more. Nothing is impossible with God. There's something about this that hits the nail on the head as far as the message goes this morning, that there's a confirmation in our spirit in prayer that God is affirming that what we are praying is right on target, right on task, right in alignment with his will. When we have that security, when we have that confidence in what we're praying about, there's power in that, and we can begin to recognize God working and moving. So as we commune with God, as we talk with God, as we lay our concerns before God, we need to trust Him with those as well. And we know through this that faith is one of the main components to powerful and effective prayer. We've got to have faith when we pray, right? But you might be saying, well, you know what? Faith is subjective to how much we believe, obviously. But we need to have faith and trust God. Let's go over a couple things real quickly. Faith is one component to powerful and effective prayer. Matthew 21:21, Jesus answered them, I assure you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you tell this mountain to be lifted up and thrown into the sea, it will be done. You know, when I first heard that verse as a young Christian, learning new things about what God says in His Word, I thought, wow, Jesus is saying that if I have faith, that I can look at the mountain and I can make that mountain right there move and be swallowed up in the ocean. So the physics of that go into my mind. I think, well, you know, I had the faith to believe that God could do anything He wants to do, whether it's against the physics of nature or not. But the mountain here is specifically looking at those huge obstacles that stand in our way in life. Maybe they're huge burdens. Maybe they're huge dilemmas that you don't know how to get through. Maybe they're so overwhelming that you feel smothered by them. And you look at them and you go, there's no way that I'm going to get through this. But the mountain are those obstacles, okay, those points of opposition. When we are faithfully praying in Christ, we can trust Him to get us through the mountain. Or we can trust Him to remove the mountain. We can trust Him to take care of it. In Luke 7:1-10, it says, when He had concluded all His sayings in the hearing of the people, He entered Capernaum. A centurion slave who was highly valued by Him was sick and about to die. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to Him, requesting Him to come to save the life of his slave. When they reached Jesus, they pleaded with Him earnestly, saying, He is worthy for you to grant this, because He loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. We get what's going on here? A centurion, a Roman soldier that had higher ranks, sent his servants to Jesus because he heard He was around and requested a prayer request for Him. Okay, and they're saying, He's a good man, Lord. You know, help him out. All right? Verse 6. Jesus went with them, and when He was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to tell Him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, since I am not worthy to have you come over to my roof. That is why I didn't even consider myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be cured. The centurion sent servants to Jesus and said, you don't even have to come to my house to pray for this servant of mine that's sick. Just say the word, and he'll be cured. That's faith. Is that an example of faith? That is why I didn't even consider myself worthy. Jesus went with them, and when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to tell him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, since I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. That is why I didn't even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be cured. For I too am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under my command. I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it. Jesus heard this and was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he replied, I tell you, I have not found so great a faith even in Israel. When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. Jesus said, I tell you, I have not found so great a faith, even in Israel. God responds to our faith. What's that verse in Hebrews 11:6 you hear me repeat often? It's impossible to please God without faith. Faith is believing in that which is not seen, which is not yet, yet you trust in God to take care of. That's relying on Him and depending upon Him. So what was the mountain in this account of the centurion story? The mountain was a sick person that was home under his care, and he couldn't heal him, couldn't take care of him. And he sent his servants, and he said, you know, Lord, this is what's going on. What kind of faith did the centurion have? He had absolute faith that Jesus could do whatever he wanted, simply by the command of his mouth, be healed, right? And then what did faith accomplish there? faith accomplished that the man was healed. But when the servants went back to the house, they found the man healed at that very hour. So I have a question to ask you. When we pray earnestly and we have genuine faith and we rely on God, or we just psych ourselves up with faith and then ask anything of God and receive it? No. It's a key that we psych ourselves up to believe that we have such great faith. Therefore, by having that intensity of faith convinced in our own hearts and minds that that's the key to having prayers that we lift up to God being answered in a favorable way to us? No. That's not the key. When Jesus was saying what great faith this man had, he had faith in a lot of different things that are not even seen in the text about God. And so let me state this question one more time. Do we just psych ourselves up with faith and then ask anything of God and receive it? Because really what we're saying is we're saying, well, they prayed, they had faith. I'm going to believe too. Jesus said, ask and you will receive, right? I'll have faith. So I'm going to be that much more focused. If we do that, are we going to get anything we ask for? No. But we must ask and pray according to the will of God. Now, how did the centurion know that it was the will of God that he heal his servant? He didn't necessarily know that. But maybe the will of God here is that the centurion knew that by asking of Jesus that there was something in his heart that was saying to him, this is right. This is good. This is not only just good, but this is in alignment with what Jesus wants to do. You follow what I'm saying? That there's something in that inner core. We can pray for good things. We can pray for things that Scripture will say is right to pray for. We can pray with great earnest faith. And sometimes those prayers feel like they're hitting off of a brick wall or a marble surface and they're not being effective. We need to understand that there are some principles to praying according to the will of God. And you say, well, how can you know the will of God? Well, first and foremost, if you're in here and don't have a relationship with Jesus, if you've never asked Jesus Christ in your life as your personal Lord and Savior, you can't even begin to pray in the will of God. If you believe that Christ is God's Son and he died on the cross and he was buried and he rose from the dead and he's alive today, and you not only know this intellectually, you believe this, but that you personally said, Lord, forgive me for my sin and please come live in my life and be my Savior. If you've done that personally, then he lives in you. That's the beginning spot of understanding the will of God, because the very first thing is being obedient to the gospel of receiving Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Then you can begin to build in your relationship in that prayer time. And so let's look at a couple things right here. Matthew 7, 7 through 11. Keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep searching and you will find. Keep knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who searches finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What man among you, if his sons ask him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Or if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who seek him? Is seeking God. Look at this. It says, seek God. How? It says, by knocking on the door. Okay, first you ask. Okay, keep asking, it will be given to you. Keep searching and you will find. Keep knocking and the door will be open to you. Is that persistence in seeking God's will? Let's put this in another thinking or understanding what it means to ask, seek, and knock persistently. It means, because obviously you and I can't go up to God's door and go, hello, you hear me? You know, it's not a tangible thing to search and to seek. But when we look to God in prayer and we say, God, this is the issue. This is what I'm praying about. I need to hear from you. I need to know what you want me to understand. I need you to guide me. I need something from you that I can hold on to. That process is seeking God and listening to God and desiring to be in His will takes time, takes effort, takes diligence, doesn't it? I mean, so you can lay something before the throne of God and you lift it up to Him in faith, but in your heart you're still not settled with it. You're not at peace with it. You're still struggling with it. You haven't got an answer from it. So what do? You keep talking to God about every detail that there is. You keep laying it down before Him. You keep your heart open. You listen to God the best you know how, and then you trust that God will reveal truth to you. And when He does, it's rich, because it's so confirmed in your heart that you'll have no doubt. I know what God has told me. Okay? Look at John 14, 12 through 14. I assure you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and he will do even greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Lord Jesus, I really want that. No, let's even be more direct. Lord Jesus, give me my 2013 Corvette. I really want that. I want it to be blue-green, metallic blue-green, and I want it maxed out with the works. And I just lay it down before you, and I have really, really worked hard to have faith and believe that you're going to give me this. And by the way, you said I don't have because I don't ask. And I am definitely seeking, and I am definitely knocking, and I am definitely being persistent about this Corvette. Right? But it says here, ask anything in my name. Well, I've said it in Jesus' name, quote unquote. If I say anything in Jesus' name, quote unquote, therefore it will be done. You said it, Lord, but we don't understand what it means to ask in Jesus' name. To ask in Jesus' name is to ask in His character. Well, what in the world does it mean to ask in the character of Christ? It means to ask in the way that we know that God is in approval of. I know better than to say, Lord, give me my Corvette, please. I really want one. I've wanted one for a long time. There's nothing wrong to ask for that. Maybe in my heart, I'm saying with a humble heart before God, Lord, you know, before I die one day, give me a Vette. It'd be so much fun. You know, and leave it at His throne and trust Him. There's not necessarily anything wrong with that, but the key is that we're asking according to what we know in our spirit and our heart is right and pleasing to God. What would Jesus' focus be? What reflects His character and His principles of His word? When we pray in His name, we're praying in accordance to how we know that God has revealed to us that He thinks, what His priorities are, what are the issues at hand. What is the heart issue behind it? Is my heart right with God? And so when we want effective prayer, we first have to know the Lord is our Savior. Secondly, we need to be persistent and seek and pursue God until we get an answer from Him. And thirdly, we need to ask things that we know that God doesn't take offense for us to ask. Your kids ever ask you for things that you know that would not be good for them? Of course. Have your kids ever asked for things and you say, you've got to be crazy? No. You know? Whatever that might be. And so we need to ask in a way that we know that God is going to be receptive to as we learn from Him. And 1 John 3:21 and 22, it says, dear friends, if our conscience doesn't condemn us, we have confidence before God. Do you hear that? If our conscience, that's our heart, what we're thinking, does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. If I had a clear conscience before God in asking for that debt, and I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, you know what, Terry, I'm going to give that to you. Don't worry about it. And I knew it was from God, praise God. But more specifically, when we're in prayer, if we have a clear conscience before God about what we're asking for, that's one of the keys. We're not asking selfishly. We're not asking for wrong motives, wrong intent, for pride, for whatever. We're asking with the right heart. So, dear friends, if our conscience doesn't condemn us, we have confidence before God and can receive whatever we ask from Him because we keep His commands and do what is pleasing in His sight. I know the Lord. I seek the Lord. I ask according to His priorities, His plans, His right attitude, with a clear conscience. And I also walk in a way of obedience with him. When we walk in step with Jesus and we're in fellowship with Jesus and we have a relationship with Jesus and moment by moment through the day, we're yielding ourselves to God and walking with him and we're in fellowship with him, that's one of the keys to effective prayer. Scripture says the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. None of us are righteous in ourselves. Righteous is a strong term, isn't it? It means that without fault. We all have fault. We all have imperfection. We all sin. But when we walk with Christ, when we yield ourselves to him, when we love him first, and we're in step with him and his spirit, we're sensitive to him. God blesses your prayer life. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Another passage of scripture says that God will manifest himself unto the righteous. When we choose to walk with a clear conscience and a right heart before God, both are synonymous there, God reveals himself to us, things he wants us to know through prayer. And I just love that. John 9:31 says, we know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing, he does his will, he listens to him. What's he mean, God doesn't listen to sinners? He's talking about lost and saved. The word sinners there is in reflection to those that do not have a relationship with Christ. You've not received my son, you've rejected my son, therefore you are in that sinful state. Will you receive Christ as your Savior? Your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. You have a right relationship with God through faith in Christ. Therefore, because of that, we can be people who God is well pleased with. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing God, and does his will, he listens to them. You mean God on his throne, creator of heaven and earth, all that's going on, all that he's in control of, listens to your voice and my voice? Uh-huh. When we yield our lives to him. And in 1 John 5:14 through 15, it says, now this is the confidence we have before him. I love that word confidence. Whenever we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked him for. In this testimony that my wife wrote, that scripture was put on her heart in the middle of the night. She reflected on the scripture, she prayed as God had, and she knew and sensed that the Holy Spirit was talking to her heart saying, I'm going to do this. You need to believe me. And he did. But there was a confirmation, a clear conscience, a confidence in her own spirit, in her own heart, that God had affirmed it. Through knocking, through searching, through listening, through persistence, our right heart with him, and yielding to God. I think that's awesome. That's what part of our Christian walk is supposed to be. That we are having that type of relationship with him, where he reveals truth to us, where we know that our prayers are not bouncing off the wall, where we know that he's receiving what we have to say, that he's pleased with our yielding of our lives to him, and that he works in our lives by allowing us to see his power through our prayer life. I don't know what time we have. What time do we have, please? 45 minutes till? Okay. Anyways, 15 minutes till. I heard quarter. But I want to switch gears just a little bit. It's still along the lines of prayer. It's still along the lines of confirmation and confidence. But I want us to switch gears just a little bit to a vision that was in Zechariah 4, 1 through 7. Israel had been plummeted. The temple had been totally destroyed. The enemies had struck Israel all over. God had punished Israel for their disobedience to him. God raised up Zechariah to come and to lead the people to rebuild the temple, to rebuild Jerusalem. But to think of the task, and what kind of a mountain is that? Zechariah, go back to your homeland that is demolished. Get all the people that you can together from all the country, Jews from all over, bring them together and rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Would that be daunting? I should say so. How about trying to convince people that it was possible after seeing the destruction? Wow, I guess so. So what God did was that he gave several visions to Zechariah to confirm that he was working. And those visions came through a time of prayer. So in Zechariah 4, 1 through 7, and I've titled this third point, find the security of God's will through prayer. You know what I mean by that? How often do you say, I've prayed and prayed and prayed, prayer doesn't seem to work? Are you praying in his name, according to his character? Are you a Christian? Are you in fellowship with God? Are you seeking and knocking and pursuing until you find the answer God has for you? Are you doing the things according to his will in your prayer life and your daily walk? But when we find that security, we have such confidence. It sounds redundant, but when I was saved, I went to church the first time I ever went to church, other than going to Mass on Easter and Christmas with my mother as a small child. The first time I went to a Baptist church, I hadn't gone to any others, it was just said my girlfriend was going there, and I went with her. It was a new start. It was a mission. And the pastor preached, and he gave the message, and he said, Anyone want to join the church? And I knew instantaneously this is where God wanted me to be. I was 17. And I walked up and joined the church, and it was there that I received my call into ministry. It was there that I was licensed for God's kingdom work and ministry. I knew it. I knew that God had called me to move to California. I knew that God had called me and told me to marry my wife. Because I was scared to death of that. I said, Lord, my dad's been married 3 times. My mother's been married twice. And there's all sorts of stuff around. I'm scared to death to do this. And he said, do it. I'm tired of telling you. I'd do it. I married my wife. Best thing in my life. My wife. And how he's used her. The security of knowing that God has spoken. When he called us to California, to Kalinga, he actually spoke to my wife first. And she said, Terry, I don't know, but I feel real strong. God's leading us to Kalinga. I said, really? And as I investigated it and prayed about it, God confirmed that as well. And he confirmed it with you. So that security is utmost importance, and it's rich in our Christian walk. Instead of just walking and claiming our faith in Christ and throwing prayers out and saying, well, I hope it works. Using the tools that we have that God has given us, when we walk right with him, there's power in prayer. So, Zechariah 4, 1 through 7, this is a vision that God had given to Zechariah to affirm that he was doing the work to restore Jerusalem and the temple. But I want you to look at the security that God has given. I'm just going to read the general account here, verse 1 through 7. The angel who was speaking with me, the angel that was speaking to Zechariah, then returned and roused me as one awakened out of a sleep. So he was asleep and he got woke up by the angel like he was woke up, but not really awake. God got his attention. He asked me, what do you see? I replied, I see a solid gold lampstand there with a bowl on its top. It has 7 lamps on it and 7 channels for each of the lamps on its top. There were also 2 olive trees beside it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left. Then I asked the angel, who was speaking with me? What are these, my Lord? Don't you know what they are? Replied the angel who was speaking with me. I said, no, my Lord. Pursuing, knocking, persisting, I don't know. So he answered me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by strength or by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What are you, great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become a plain, and he will bring out the capstone accompanied by shouts of grace, grace to it. Now, what did all that mean? Zechariah gets his vision. Basically, there's this gold bowl up here, and the gold bowl there's 2 olive trees on either side of this lampstand, and the branches are going toward the bowl, And the olive oil is coming out of the olive trees into the bowl. And then the olive oil is going down through 7 pipes that go to 7 burning spots on the lamp, which are on the lamp stand. And what it was really saying to him was this. I am your continuous source of strength and power. In me, you can do all things. In me, what I have called you to do has been supplied. There is an endless supply of my power working through you. And this mountain of restoring Israel, rebuilding the temple, getting the people together, you don't need to rely on your strength, Zechariah. You can rely on the very power of God. For he said again, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. I keep saying Zechariah, excuse me, to Zerubbabel, not by strength or by might, but by my spirit. Look, it's not your strength. It's not your might, Zerubbabel, but by my spirit, the presence of God, says the Lord of hosts. And then he poses a question, what are you, great mountain? What that great obstacle, that great challenge, that great burden, that great anxiety before you? What are you? What are you, great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain. God will take care of it and accomplish what he wants to do. And he will bring out the capstone accompanied by shouts of grace, grace to it. God will finish the work with the capstone and grace will be declared to God. So what does the picture say? The security was given. Your burden about this charge has been given to you to rebuild. And I'm telling you, it's not by your strength, it's by mine. And it will be done. And you have that security. You see, when we're in prayer with God and we seek God and we pursue him with the right heart, we're walking in fellowship with him the best that we know how. We've come to know the Lord as our Savior. We walk with him. We're obedient to him the best we know how. We sin. Some days I sin all day long, left and right. I do things I know that God isn't happy with. Other days, I think I do pretty good. But God in his grace hasn't shown me all the things I've messed up on. But when we know we're walking with God and yielding to God and loving God first and being sensitive to his spirit and to what's pleasing to him and to what's not and caring more about him than about us, and we go to him in prayer and we pursue him, we seek him, we don't have to feel like our prayers are ineffective. We can know with confidence that God is hearing our prayer and that we can seek him and say, God, give me some answers here. Sometimes God gives us an answer like this. Yesterday, I was feeling absolutely cruddy. And I said, Lord, I need you to help me with this message because I can't even think to focus. Later on that afternoon, the message came. But there are other times when I'll pray about something that's like a mountain issue in my life that takes weeks, months, even a year or more to pray about. But I continue to pursue. And God reveals. And so let me conclude with this statement. Face your mountain of opposition through prayer and know the security of the will of God in your life. Isn't that wonderful as a Christian? That we can have the security that we know that God has revealed to us and that we can stand with confidence knowing what God wants to do. Like I said before, when I was riding the ambulances to the hospital, God had already told me, you're not going to die. So I just enjoyed the ride. And the cars and the sirens and the wow, and I was a 5-year-old in an ambulance. I didn't have any fear. God had already given me the security and said, you're not going to die, so don't even go there. Okay, thank you. We need to trust God with what he has for us. Let's go to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each one here. Thank you, Father, for their patience. As we've covered a lot of scripture this morning. But I trust in you, dear Holy Spirit, that you have communed with each heart here. That each person will walk away with something specific from you that you will bring to their attention if you haven't already. And I pray, Father, please, that you honor this. Father, it's on my heart this morning that if there's someone here, maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I don't know. But if there are those that are here that are not sure that they have a relationship with Christ, or not sure that when they die that they will go to heaven because Jesus lives in their heart, I pray that they would be compelled of you to receive you as their Savior today, and to take care of that concern, and to know that it's done. And so I want to give them that opportunity now to pray where they're sitting. If there's anyone in this room that's not sure that you have Christ in your life, or that when you die you're going to heaven, then I want you to pray this prayer right now in your seat. And just repeat this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know you are God's Son, that you died on the cross for my sins, and that you were buried, and that you rose on the third day, and that you're alive in heaven today. Please forgive me for all of my sin, and come and live in my heart, that I might know you, and that you would be my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. While your heads are bowed, did anybody pray that prayer? Can you raise your hand? Thank you. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for that one that prayed that prayer. And as that prayer was lifted by faith to you, reveal yourself to that person this morning and all the days ahead in ways that they've never known before, a relationship rich in you. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.